name is Tristan Jepson, and like Pastor Brandon shared, my husband and kids and I moved to Wyoming 4 months ago. So we are pretty new to it. And so we have three kids with us. We have three kids total. Three are also with us, and they are nine. Ben is nine, Alex is five, and then Ari just turned two, like 2 days ago. So, and so I served as a youth pastor in Oregon for 8 years, technically seven, and then I did Next Gen for a year, so I did kids and youth. And as a heads up, I feel like I got kind of used in doing that role. I get used to speaking to people I knew, so this is still kind of new to me. And I'm also got used to speaking to students. So students, you guys are my comfort zone, but we're super excited to be with you guys and be a part here. And when I was talking to Pastor Brandon at Network Conference, he jokingly told me that we picked the wrong part of Wyoming to move to because of how beautiful the Bighorns and Ten Sleep are. And then I drove in last night and I realized he wasn't joking. And it's now I'm just rethinking my life decisions. No, just kidding. Anyway, so a little background on me. I grew up in Oregon, and I also grew up in a home and didn't know Jesus. So I didn't grew up in an unchurched family completely. And I had a rough home life and just was surviving the best you can because that's what you do. And when I was a freshman in high school, someone in a class I was in invited me to youth group. And I immediately said yes. And I didn't know what youth group was. Like, I had to ask, like, what is it? Sure, I'd love to come to it, but what is it? And so I never set foot in a church before, never grown up with any of that. And so I said yes anyway. And then I met Jesus. And to say that meeting Jesus and choosing to follow him changed my life would be an understatement. And then I experienced a call to ministry, and I served as youth pastor there. And then about 5 years ago, I felt God stirring with me a call to missions, but also felt a strong weight from the Lord. And so we waited and we served, and it was beautiful and fruitful and good. And about a year ago, I felt God restirring that call to missions again, and like maybe it might be time to take some steps and move towards that. And at the same time, my husband started to feel like he came to me and he's like, I feel like God might be calling us to move to Wyoming. And I'm like, what? Like, what? Because he grew up in the same town, he's very logical, like he's very not spontaneous. He's just like, has this all planned out. And I'm more like, when I felt the call to missions, I'm like, let's go, Jesus, let's do it. I didn't know if it was going to be foreign missions or what that was going to look like. So when he was like, I feel like God might be calling us to move. And at the same time, I felt God restoring that call to missions. We started taking it to the Lord and being like, Jesus, is this you? Are these two pieces of the same puzzle, right? And just prayed through, because what else can you do? And we have prayed and eventually felt like God was leading us to take a step of faith. And so we did. And it's been incredible. What Pastor Brandon didn't tell you is when we had kind of felt like, yes, this is the way God's leading us, and we'd reached out to Wyoming District. We didn't know if they needed someone. We didn't know if they had someone. We had no idea. And so we talked to Pastor Allen and Pastor Jeremiah at the network office, and then got it kind of all firmed up and like, this is the plan, kind of, you know, set in sand. I don't know. And I got a call from this number I don't recognize. And it's Pastor Brandon. He's like, hey, you don't know me, but what you don't know is my wife and I have been praying for God to send someone to Wyoming to do Youth Alive. And we were like, all right, Jesus. Like, we were praying for some very specific things. We're like, God, we want to know that we are an answer to prayer. Like, we want to, that was my biggest. I'm like, God, confirm this to me in being an answer to someone else's prayer. And that's happened a lot. And that's been so awesome. And we're just excited because we believe that God has us in this place at this time on purpose. And as I was praying at the beginning of 2022 for Wyoming and Youth Alive, I felt God really whisper to my heart to raise the called. And I believe that's God's heart. I believe there are students in Wyoming who God is calling to reach their campuses, specifically to reach their campuses, wherever they're planted, their campus and their community. And I believe there are people across Wyoming who God is stirring to in the hearts of to plant churches and to raise youth ministries and to reach places that haven't been reached before. And so, kind of a long story, kind of shortened. I'm your Youth Alive missionary to the state of Wyoming. And Youth Alive is the missions movement of the Assemblies of God that focuses on students. So just like Speed the Light is students' way to really own missions giving, Youth Alive is how students can own being a missionary. What does that look like? How can they reach the world that they're in? And students reaching students and the local church equipping them to do that. And so I get to partner with youth pastors and youth leaders and the students that they serve and the students who are called to and say yes to reaching their campus and their community and help them to think through what it looks like to adopt and own that school in their community. And so I'm praying that this fall there would be students who would say yes to God's call to reach their campus by starting a campus club. And in that process, I get to walk alongside them and help them know their rights on the campus and resource them however they need. And to be a voice, sometimes this is the most important part for them, be a voice reminding them that the Holy Spirit's already going before them. He's with them and he's empowering them because he is. And that's one of the most encouraging things we can remember as each one of us embraces God's mission. The Holy Spirit is already working and drawing, and we get to come alongside and be a part of that mission. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about the mission we're called to and having a missions mindset. So raise your hand if you've ever been on a missions trip. Okay. So if you have, and maybe it's been a while or maybe it's fresh in your memory, but if you haven't, I'm going to explain it to you. There's just something different about it, right? You're outside of where you physically normally live. You're away from normal life. You're also surrounded by people that are on the same mission you are. You're focused, you're prepared for ministry, and you have a mission mindset. One thing we did with students was we would try to help them to have that grown in their life, that'd be a part of who they are, and we would do local outreaches to other churches and help them do kids ministry. And so we would take students, and then in the morning, we would get up, and we would eat breakfast together and read the Bible together and pray together. And then training, like I would teach them, like, what does it look like to lead a child to the Lord? Because it's, we kind of think it's simple after a while, but if you haven't done it before, it's really intimidating. So if you're like, oh, I don't know how to do this. So we'd have training of how to do that. What does that look like? And then we go around to the community and all together advertise and they do skits, they do all sorts of crazy stuff, games and parks and stuff, and try to reach the community. And then the evening they do a program. And it was awesome. But the thing that was awesome about it was the mission mindset. You guys are probably like this too. I talk to my kids, my kids, constantly about being on the mission. Like so much so that they might be tired of hearing it too much. Before we left Oregon and came to Wyoming, we signed up to coach soccer because I love church ministry, but I also know that the mission field is outside of the church. And it was a way for the boys and I to pray before soccer and be like, God, show us opportunities. Show us what you're already doing. Show us where we can come alongside and partner with you. And I talk about Jesus' mission a lot to my kids because it's good for them to remember, but it's also good for me to remember because it's just way too easy for us to forget the mission and just get dragged into normal life, right? Because really, we shouldn't need a trip in order to be on the mission. We're all called to be on the same mission Jesus was all the time. We're called to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them to do what Jesus said. And that's the mission, helping people find and follow Jesus. And it's more unique than that. God wants to use each of our personal gifts and talents and abilities, but it's like an equation we already know part of the answer to. We already know that his plan is to reach his world with a message of hope and repentance and freedom to the world. And the question is, how do we do it and what does it look like? And I think that's the fun part. Like, I think that's the dream big with Jesus part. And that's awesome. One of my favorite things that Jesus says is in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He's quoting a prophecy about himself in the book of Isaiah. And he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." And we see these things come to pass in Jesus' life. We see him live those out And we also see them continue on in Jesus' mission. And we're all called to have a mission mindset. So this morning, for just a few minutes, let's talk about Jesus' mission. God, thank you for every single person who's here. Thank you, God, that you see each person. Lord, you made each person. Lord, we just ask, God, we give you freedom to do whatever you want, Lord. But would you stir our heart for what stirs yours? And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine if we could have the same excitement and preparation and unity that we have on a mission trip every single day in our own life, in our own job, in our own school. Imagine if we could view the world and the people around us in the same way God does, even the ones who are hard to love. And I know a lot of the people in this room do. So I hope this is an encouragement to you. And I hope maybe more than anything else, it's a restirring of urgency. Because if we look at the global church, the evidence shows that even though people think Jesus is a good idea, they often don't do what he says to do. Because if we're honest, it's easier to have a me mindset than a mission mindset. Because the mission mindset's going to cost us something. It's going to be inconvenient. It might be awkward. It might involve conflict. It might risk feeling like you're going to look stupid. It might take your time and your money. And so we're going to look about, read about a man that Jesus met and called to be on his mission. And if Luke 4 was the theoretical of what Jesus came to do, the description, then Luke 8 is the YouTube tutorial of what it looked like. So Jesus, if we're going to turn to Luke 8, a little background. Jesus and his disciples had just come out of a storm where Jesus had calmed the storm, and now he was about to calm a whole different type of storm in someone's life. So Luke chapter 8, we're going to start at verse 26. So they arrived at the regions of Gerasenes across the lake from Galilee. As Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came out to meet him. For a long time, he had been homeless and naked, living in the tombs outside of the town. So other gospel accounts share different details that other people notice. So some accounts, the gospel writer noticed that he was cutting himself with stones, or they both noticed different details, and you can see that in other gospel accounts. Verse 20 says, as soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down in front of him. Then he screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Please, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. The spirit had often taken control of the man. Even when he was placed under guard and put in chains and shackles, he simply broke them and rushed out into the wilderness, completely under the demon's power. Jesus demanded, what is your name? Legion, he replied, for he was filled with many demons. Let's pause here for a second. There are so many reasons that Jesus should really have had nothing to do with this man. He's naked, which is, that's kind of awkward. He's also ceremonially unclean. So Jesus, as a Jewish rabbi, the man was in a graveyard amongst dead things. And so he was considered ceremonially unclean to the Jewish people by Jewish law. He was also possessed by a legion of demons. But Jesus sends out the demons and delivers him, setting free the oppressed captive. And we see what we see in Luke 4, what he talks about doing, we see it lived out in full color in Luke 8. And even though Jesus had every reason not to, he had compassion for the man. A mission mindset breeds compassion. It means that we do more than intellectually just understand another person's brokenness, but we're broken for them. Verse 31 says, the demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby, and the demons begged him to let them enter the pigs, so Jesus gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man, entered the pigs, and the entire herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw it, they fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. And we're going to see people responding in different ways to what Jesus is doing. Verse 35 says, people rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been freed from demons. He was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed and perfectly sane, and they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others how the demon-possessed man had been healed. And all the people in the region of Gerasenes begged Jesus to go away and leave them alone, for a great wave of fear swept over them. Let's talk about this fear. This fear was partially about what had happened. It was something spiritual that they didn't understand and couldn't control. Sometimes that's a thing for people. It scares people. But also, it was also economically motivated because those pigs were their livelihood, their property. Jesus being there was upsetting normal life. So Jesus returned to the boat and left, crossing back to the other side of the lake. Verse 38 continues, the man who had been freed from the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him home saying, no, go back to your family, tell them everything God has done for you. So he gets saved and healed, and he asks to go with Jesus, but Jesus tells him to stay and tell everyone in his family what had happened and what God has done. This man was all of a sudden on the mission. His mindset changed. He experienced freedom in every single way, mentally, physically, spiritually, and then instantly he was on Jesus' mission. And how awkward must that have been? Have you ever thought about that? Like, everyone knew this guy's business. He was the town, he was the one everybody talked about. He was the town naked guy that lived in the graveyard. And they've all seen him at the lowest point in his life. And it's one thing to be able to be farther past it and tell people the cliff notes, like reduced version of your testimony. Like, I had a rough time and Jesus, I was possessed by demons and Jesus healed me. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. But it's another thing to go back to the same people who have seen your nakedness and seen your brokenness and known your shame. Imagine the things that could go through this guy's mind. Imagine the things Satan would have brought against him. Would people believe him? What about mothers whose children were afraid of him, that lived in, who he lived in the graveyard? Would they believe he was really different? What about the people whose pigs had been killed by the demons inside of him? I'm sure they weren't a big fan of him. Because rather than care about the person and about what Jesus was doing, they cared about their property. But he stays and he does what Jesus told him to do. And verse 39 continues. So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things Jesus had done for him. If missions was ever awkward or uncomfortable or hard, it was here. It was costly, personally costly for this man to stay. And there's a story from a missionary to Vietnam that's been something I think about constantly. And I want to share it with you. It says this. A few years before, Vietnamese children came to the missionary's house and asked if they could pick fruit from a tree in his yard. He allowed them to do so. In their enthusiasm, they broke numerous small branches. Distressed at the appearance of the tree after they'd finished, he decided that he would not let them pick fruit again. Over the next couple of years, when the fruit was ripe, the children pestered him, asking to pick fruit, but each time he turned them away. Even though the fruit fell to the ground and rotted, he did not want to deal with the trouble or the damage the children might cause. Finally, in frustration over their continual asking, he cut down the tree. As the man told me this story, he was aware of the lost opportunity to share the love of Christ with many children who had come to his house for fruit. The tree had become the focus of his interest. Compelled to protect his interest, he cut the tree down rather than share its fruit with those who had need. Not only did he fail to share his abundance, but also he failed to share the good news of Christ with those who came. His situation is not unique. Many people have chosen to protect property rather than to share the good news of Christ. He said, I've been so blind. The Lord has been bringing people to my door, but instead of reaching out, I have turned them away and cut down the tree that brought them. To protect my property and privacy, I have lost a great opportunity. And that last statement, to protect my property and privacy, I've lost a great opportunity. And if we're not careful, we can just get so stuck in preserving what we have that we forget what it's been given to us for. Have you guys ever seen, I guess heard of, I don't know if it's on anymore, I don't think it is. Have you ever seen the show Hoarders? Have you ever seen clips of it? So it's a show about people who can't stop keeping things, right? They keep all this weird stuff. And some people in that show hoard weird things like dolls or animals, kind of some strange things. But other people, they hoard otherwise useful and normal things. It's not the stuff that's necessarily the problem. It's the mindset. It's what they do with it. The demoniac man had been given a new life. And he could have said, maybe justifiably so, that it was just his time to have a normal, quiet life, to maybe slip by under the radar, settle down. He could have demanded his privacy. He could have not shared what Jesus had done. And he could have chosen what others might consider to be a normal life over the mission. Or he could have used his past and his reputation or what he thought he lacked as an excuse not to act. Wasn't there someone more qualified, like someone with a less messy past? Couldn't Jesus have just left a disciple or two there to go around Gerasenes proclaiming Jesus? That wasn't his plan. That wasn't his mission. And we have the tension of stewarding well what we've been given, our lives, while not forgetting what we've been given it for. And this is the mission mindset. This is missional living, stewarding our lives in a way that we use it for God's purpose and we don't forget why he's given it to us. When we follow Jesus, we're choosing a new normal, a missional normal. And it's important on an individual level. We've all been given physical stuff, things we own and resources, but we've also been given time and a story and gifts, things you're good at. And the same tension exists for us to steward them well and not forget why we have them. What if there are people in your life that only you can reach? Maybe God wants to use your gifts, your burdens, your past, the way you encounter Jesus to reach someone else. And if you're a person in this room following Jesus, you've been called to join him on that mission to make disciples of all nations. The people in your life that you meet every day at work and at school and at the grocery store and the gas station need you. Each person we come in contact with is someone made in his image. And he has hope for them and freedom for them. He has everything he promised in Luke 4 that we see lived out in how he interacts with the demoniac man in Luke 8 for that person. But living that out in an everyday, feet on the ground kind of way is going to cost us. It might be painful. It's going to be inconvenient. It's going to be messy. It will probably infringe on your property and your privacy. But it's worth it. Have you seen Jesus set someone free from their sin? Have you seen him heal someone's brokenness? Thank God someone in my high school was brave enough to risk awkwardness or to risk the fact that I might say no to invite me to church. And students, when you say yes to having a mission mindset and yes to what God might be calling you to do, lives can change, yours and the ones around you. Jesus said that whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for his sake will find it. And we're all called to have a mission mindset. We have to adjust our perspective and remember that the world and the people around us aren't just normal life, but they're the people that the Holy Spirit is actively working to draw to Jesus, that not one would perish. And we get to be a part of that as God reveals himself to people. And I'm just convinced that Jesus and his saving hope is worth it. It's worth my inconvenience. It's worth my time. It's worth my privacy. It's worth it. And I hope today that you'll say it's worth it too. That someone's life is worth inconvenience. That someone's life is worth your time and your resources, worth your privacy. Because living out the Great Commission is not generosity on our part. It's obedience. So the challenge is to steward well what God's given you. And don't forget what it's been given to you for. And if you haven't encountered Jesus in a way to be able to share him, today's your day. He wants to meet you. He wants to be close to you. You can't tell about what you've seen and heard if you haven't seen or heard it. And it's time to say yes to renewing our focus on proclaiming Jesus and sharing what God has done. So Pastor Brandon's going to come and close.
Man, what Tristan and her family are doing really, I think, hits home with just what God has called our church to do. God has called our church to reach the next generation. You know, that's why we have invested so many resources in remodeling a section of our building so students have a place they feel comfortable and safe to come and to hear about Jesus and how much he loves them and cares for them. You know, I want every student in our community to know that God created you for a purpose. He has a plan for your life. He loves you. He died for you. And if you give your life to him in service and obedience, it will be the greatest thing you will ever do with your life. It's not always easy to follow Jesus, amen? Sometimes it's hard, but it's always, always worth it. And so what Tristan and her family are doing is phenomenal. As she mentioned, about a year ago, God spoke to Kinsey and I just to start praying for somebody to come to Wyoming that is able to equip our students to be able to share their faith with their friends. And didn't know who, didn't know how. Even Kinsey and I were like, is it supposed to be us? And the Lord was like, no, you're just supposed to pray for who it is. And so we did. And when I heard from Jeremiah, our network Next Gen director, that he was talking with somebody to come and be a Youth Alive missionary, I was like, this is who we've been praying for. This is awesome. Didn't know them at all. I looked Tristan up on Facebook. We have zero mutual friends. And that's just how God works, right? He puts a burden in your heart sometimes. So maybe God has placed a burden in your heart just to start praying for a situation, for something to happen. You never know who God is also speaking to move. And I believe that our students, man, talked with Tristan, ask her what it's like to be a campus missionary. I was a campus missionary when I was a kid, 12 years old. I went to my Youth Alive missionary in Missouri, and I said, I want to be able to share my faith with my friends at school. How do I do that? And he was like, let me tell you how. So we started an after-school club where we would do Bible studies together and share our faith with our friends and pray for kids in the hallways and all of those types of things. It was a lot of fun. And I have had friends come to the Lord, which has been super incredible. So we support Tristan and her ministry as a church. They are one of our missionaries that we support, one of the 20 that we support on a monthly basis. And so thank you for those of you who give to our Kingdom Builders Project so we can continue to share the gospel, not only around the world in places like Morocco and France and Colombia and South America, but also right here in Wyoming in our schools and in our communities. So with that said, I want us to pray over Tristan and her family, and then we will close out our time together. So Lord, we just thank you so much for Tristan and her family answering the call to come to Wyoming, a whole new state, a whole new place, in order to share the gospel with students who may otherwise never hear your name. Lord, you love them. You care for these students. You have created them for a God-given purpose and a plan in their life. Lord, I pray that you will just use them in their ministry to encourage students who are ready to step out and share their faith with their friends, that you will help and equip them to be able to start clubs after school to help to grow in their relationship with you, Lord, and just use them in the way that our students need here in Wyoming, even in Tin Sleep, the Bighorn Basin, and beyond. Thank you so much. Bless them financially. Help them as they raise their support and open doors of opportunity. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.